Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world who are engaged in this platform of Blog Talk Radio right now with Running for Christ Ministries. I sincerely say good morning and welcome as we go through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we begin to go through. I don't know if we're going to make it all the way through, but Lord's will be done. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this awesome day. We thank you for rising us up. It wasn't the alarm clocks. It wasn't our kids being loud or the birds singing. It was you, and we say thank you. Pray that you will clear our minds and our hearts and encourage our spirits as we go through your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2, we can start by reading verse 1. And it says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us." So let's go back to verse 1 real quick. The greeting now, dear brothers and sisters. They're attempting to clarify some things about the coming of the Lord and how we will be gathered to meet him. As we know, you know, throughout the years, there have been false teachers and preachers, even still to this day. And a lot of it is because folk just mishandle the word of God and they put themselves in the mix versus just going strictly from what the word says. You know, it's okay to say you don't know something and to go conduct some research after the fact and find out. But a lot of people, and I've heard it, you know, sometimes if I wake up and the TV's on, it might be 3 or 4 in the morning. There might be some, you know, person talking crazy like, you know, the Lord is coming on this day and I, you know, at this time. And the truth of the matter is we don't know. What we are supposed to do as followers of Christ, we're supposed to live our lives daily as if he's coming back at any given moment, which is what we know based upon the word. Any given moment, the Lord can come back. So it says, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we would be gathered with him. So they're saying, let's clear things up. And verse 2 says, don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Sometimes the Lord will give you dreams or visions or say things to you in terms of getting your affairs in order or getting your attention. But the word talks about the Father knows when Jesus will return. We know God the Father to be the first person in the Godhead. So whether it's a preacher or teacher or anybody else, a spiritual leader, whoever, we know from the word that God the Father is who knows when Jesus will return. But what we do know, again, is that at any given moment, Jesus can return. We have been in the end times for quite some time now since Jesus ascended back to heaven. So, like I said, at any given moment, and I thank my Auntie Linda for sharing with me a study about the end times when I was on my 19-month sabbatical with David Jeremiah. So I had to give a shout out for her because I was able to learn so much from him because he kind of specializes in end time study. Verse 3 says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. The man of lawlessness refers to the Antichrist, not, you know, serial killers or, you know, international or domestic terrorists that kill a bunch of people or do a bunch of heinous things or anything of that nature. The man of lawlessness refers strictly to the Antichrist. There are so many false preferences and references of people who are supposed to be the Antichrist. It's someone who's going to be empowered by Satan. He's going to have power like Satan does. And he's going to be the Antichrist. And he, you know, we will see, you know, I mean, we see that in the Bible where it talks about different things that the Antichrist, you know, typically in Revelation. But, you know, there are certain passages throughout the Bible that deal with this man of lawlessness, and it's strictly talking about the Antichrist. Now, granted, anyone who works against Christ and who teaches against Christ, I mean, you have people like that. You know, you have people who belong to the Church of Satan. You have people who are atheists. You have people who totally hate and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are Antichrist with a small a, because they work against Christ. Us as Christians, we follow Christ being Christians. But this, where the man of lawlessness, that discusses the Antichrist with the capital A in the beginning, who will be empowered by Satan. Amen. So he will be the one who brings destruction. So again, there are certain signs, and you know, we won't get into them in this study, but I would tell you to read the book of Revelation. That will help you get an understanding of what certain things are going to happen in the end times. Now, we do know there are wars and rumors of wars. There have been pestilences, there are earthquakes and things of that nature, that is natural disasters, you know, large amounts of people leaving the planet. We are experiencing that now. You know, I've experienced that my whole life, but I'm thankful to the Lord's presence in my life. So thing is that we should be about our mission, spreading the gospel so that folks would get on to heaven and not go to hell, expecting the Lord to show up at any time. So verse 4 says, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. We will see that, and then you will be able to identify that the Antichrist is, you know, moving forward with Satan's agenda. We haven't physically seen that or heard that yet. We haven't. So you can't call him the Antichrist, because there's some people who may even call Trump that. You know, the reality is that he's not. You know, truth be told, unless we personally know him, we don't know if he's a Christian or not. We don't know if he got saved. You know, it's a lot of people that talk crazy and do crazy things and are God's children. You know, I say crazy stuff and do crazy stuff, and I've been saved since I was 10, 45 years old now. So don't be so quick to push people into the Antichrist seat. You see it right here in 2 Thessalonians, how it's described. And if you want to do further study, I challenge you to. But the reality is that this is describing the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. Verse 5 says, don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? See, one thing about Paul, Timothy, and Silas is that they were going to discuss what's going on as far as the good news, first and foremost, so that people would get saved and follow, become members of the way. or Christians, followers of Christ, same thing. You know, they were just referred to differently back then, but they were Christians, early church Christians. So they would take time to teach people about, hey, Jesus left, but he's coming back. This is why he left. This is why he lives. He left, but he's coming back. He's returning, you know, to get his people from planet Earth, and we're going to live with him in glory. To give people hope and inspiration to, one, carry out the mission of expanding the gospel throughout the world, and two, for them to understand that your labor, your work won't be in vain. We will have eternity to spend with Christ. So he's reminding them, saying, hey, remember, you know, I told you all this when I was with you. Because remember, this is a letter to the church of Thessalonica. That in mind, that we should know and understand why we are telling people about Jesus. It's not just because it's the right thing to do. No, it's to save them from eternal damnation. You know, that's major. You know, and Christ did his thing physically on earth for 3 years. A lot of us on this broadcast have been saved way longer than 3 years. Amen. Verse 6 says, and you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. So everything with the Lord has designated time. You know, if it's supposed to be sunny in the Detroit metro area, that's because the Lord had set this time for it to be sunny. If it's time for rain, it'll rain. If it's time for the Antichrist to rise up, he will rise up. Regardless of what we think about what we see in the world, the truth of the matter is that the Lord is still in control. He allows certain things to happen in his wisdom because he's running the show. So don't think for one moment because all hell is broken loose in the world, because some people feel like that. I don't, because I know things could be way worse than they are. However, the Lord is still in control. He's sovereign. No one above him. So even the Satan and the demons, every in creation is under his subjection. So he runs the show. He gives the okay for the Antichrist to be released, because God knows the whole picture from beginning to end. We don't. And we question God, why this, why that, why my mama had to leave, you know, why I get laid off of my job. He has purpose in everything, and I'm thankful for that. So it says, and you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. You hear that from demons who were, you know, addressing Jesus, saying, hey, you coming to torment us or kill us before his time? Even they didn't understand there's a time for that. So verse 7 says, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. So remember, there are things going on in the spiritual realm that we don't know about all the time. You know, so that's why it's so important for us to latch on to our relationship in the Lord, and to understand that we have victory all around, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's spiritually, because there are things going on that we don't know about that we're protected from. And that's simply because we belong to Christ. And I'm thankful for that. So even knowing that, if you feel some kind of way in terms of love or like, about anyone, you should be serious about them being saved so that we can all spend eternity together. Because there are things going on, those bumps in the night, spiritual places, are strategic and they're real. And I'm thankful for my protection. And I'm also thankful for my victory. Amen. Amen. So verse 8 says, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. Again, our elder brother, our king, our savior, true big brother, who's protecting us, who's going to bat for us, is going to take out the Antichrist because he's the Christ. Amen? Amen. Verse 9 says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. You know, a lot, like I said, a lot of us have been saved for a while. We should know real versus counterfeit. We really should. You know, Jesus healed people. I physically laid my hands on people and prayed for their healing and watched them recover quickly. And the truth of the matter is I felt energy leave, and it was a good amount of energy, so I can only imagine what Jesus went through on earth, because he was constantly going through that. He must have been exhausted, because, again, he was in human form. But I remember being able to do so one time with my grandmother when she was in the hospital, and one time with my mother who had been in bed for about 5 days with pneumonia. And I prayed for them. My grandma got out of the hospital and was back on her feet, good to go. My mom, the next day, was up cooking breakfast. And I'm thankful, you know, for that. So that's real power that the Lord blessed us with by his presence in the Holy Spirit inside of us. So don't think it's counterfeit or any of that. Like, it's the real deal. It works. We just have to tap into it. And then verse 10 says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. And that's what's happening today as far as people leaving this planet. They're refusing to love and accept the truth that will save them. And they're deceived all day, every day. And it's our job as soldiers of the cross, as followers of Christ, to share the good news, to plant those seeds so the Lord can water them and fertilize them and grow them up so that folks will get saved. Because that destruction of hell lasts for eternity. That's our charge. Spread the gospel. Expand the kingdom. Verse 11 says, so God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. We see that in the world today. Without the Antichrist being in power right now on earth, we see that. People enjoy evil rather than believing the truth. The truth is what it is. It's absolute. It's God's word. Amen. So verse 13 says, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. Now, they got saved, you know, I remember as the church kind of exploded, you know, folks were getting saved left and right. So this is what Paul, Timothy, and Silas are discussing right here. You know, that folk, they chose to be among the first, that they believed when they heard it, and they responded by getting saved. And then the salvation came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news, the gospel. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. A lot of us have accepted the good news, the gospel that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the grave for us to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. That's liberating news. That's wonderful news. That's the good news that we should be spreading on earth. If we feel some kind of way, if we love the Lord like we say we do, we will be doing everything in our power to protect people from being subject to the Antichrist, to being subject to leaving earth without being saved on their way to hell. Because even when they leave here right now, there's a waiting place for those on their way to hell. And from what I've read in my Bible, it's not the place you want to be. And there have been people who've had what you call near-death experiences or where revelations where they've seen the other side. I had a conversation with a guy who said he had a conversation with someone he grew up with who had that, who he was leaving, and he said he saw Hades. And he said people were hot and sweating, and he said there were snakes everywhere. And he said he saw faces of people he knew who were like gangsters and killers from back in the day. And he said the guy that he was walking with was dressed like a priest. And he said, it's not your time yet. And the guy was revived in a hospital. And he got up and he got saved. I hope that when you hear stuff like that, you understand the reality of it. Like I said, there are things, this Bible is the absolute truth. What we read about it is true. What it says is true. Bind in love to the truth. And that's by expanding God's kingdom. Well, thankfully, brothers and sisters, we've gone through chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and we'll pick up next week with chapter 3. It's not my intention to go through them so fast, but clearly the Lord is on a mission, so I'm going to do my part and be obedient. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for walking with us carefully through the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. We thank you, Lord, for the energy and strength that you provided for me to do double duty today, as I have to share the word as well later on in the broadcast. But I'm thankful for each and every one that participated, and I'm thankful for a brand new day and brand new opportunities for us to share your word and expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good lesson, Pastor Jonathan. Thank you so much. Eternal destruction. Boy, that sounds like something destructive.
Right.
So yes, yeah. So yes, we have to plant those seeds so all us folks can get saved. Thank you so much. Very good lesson. We can't wait to hear more next week. We appreciate you.
You're welcome. Appreciate you.
We'll hear you later.
All right.
Okay. Double deuce.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Hey, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpet. And on the other side of this song, we will start our morning service. Amen.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I stand and give you glory and praise, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you're El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Pass it up.
joy, life, strength. Lord, you are my everything. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And, you know, today is Youth Day. It's like Youth Weekend, and today on the 4th and 5th Saturdays of each month, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And guess what? We have this morning to help us do so is our very own Young King, Darius Freeman.
Good morning.
Good morning, Darius. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
And you're going to do our scripture and prayer this morning. Take it away.
Yes. Okay. Good morning, Ball Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Darius Freeman, and I'll be opening up this Saturday worship and praise. I'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I repeat, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The title is Christ is Supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creations together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God and all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you so much praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of the faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Train up a child. Thank you, King Darius. We appreciate you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Okay,
have a great
you.
Day.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
giving honor to God, who's the head of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, he is real to me. More precious than silver. More precious than diamond rings or anything that I could give him. It wouldn't be the thing. It's good to know the love inside of him. It guides me through.
Don't have to be afraid.
Oh.
All you got to do is trust in him and never doubt. He'll always be there for you. He'll never let you down. And I believe in that, cause I'm a living witness to this, y'all.
Yes,
cause without God, my life would be nothing. So if you believe in what I'm saying, I want y'all all to come on and repeat after me. I know the Lord is real.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real, I know. He gave his life, he sacrificed, just to save my soul. Come on, y'all, I know the Lord.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave us all his blessings.
He gave us all his blessings.
It was 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years
now, come on, y'all, help me sing the song.
I can feel him in my soul. You know, sometimes, you know, we can't really preach to unsaved folks the word of God because they can't get it because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside. But we can tell him he's real. And he, because I can feel him in my soul. And that is what makes me know. See, I was an atheist. Amen. And so the Lord to get me couldn't use the Bible. Amen. So he found a way to get me without using the Bible. Amen? Just like we're supposed to go out and get people like Paul did. Just tell your story. Amen. And then this lady named Ruth LaAntra, she wrote a song, and it's called Kingdom. We are kingdom. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Amen. We are the salt of the earth. And when we're light and when we're salt, people get that. People see that. They want to become a part of that. Amen. When we are being the kingdom of God on earth, advertised and displayed, amen, somebody see the lifted up Jesus and they come in.
We're called to be a light, a light to the whole wide world. How many light holders do I have in here? Come on.
And everywhere I see you need, I go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for change, but who will take the lead? Yeah. The change that I want to see is going to start with me. Everybody say now. Come on.
Come on, say.
Welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see your life was the only gift I left for me?
the Savior.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Amen. He made the day. He made a way. I don't want to love nobody but you. That's what the Lord wants to hear from us. He, you know, in a couple of places in the Bible, in the New Testament, you'll see these words in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart. And then you'll find them words again over in James chapter 4, around verse 8 and a few of the following verses. It says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What the Lord is talking about is the same thing he talks about in James chapter 1. Don't let God see that you don't trust him completely, but there's somebody or something, some other person, place, thing, or thought that you do trust. And we can't hide that from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we don't want nobody but him. We don't want to trust any person, place, thing, or thought over our Lord God and Father. Amen? Amen. That's what the song is all about. The Lord wants you to know, young folks, old folks, amen, the Lord wants all of us to know, no matter what we see going on in our world today, and it might look strange to us and make us wonder, how could God allow this stuff? I want to tell you, as far as we're concerned, is what Pastor Jonathan Tate taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to be all right.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go. Even on the mountain high or the valley low, never let your faith go. Oh,
never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorist disguise.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell him,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
Tell him,
we gon' be alright.
You say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day, day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame, abuse, and evil, I pray.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
In the earth,
let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
We believe you.
We gon' be alright.
Hey, don't worry.
we're going to be all right. And thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Awesome music. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. The next youthful voice you will hear is our very own, after this selection, is our very own prophet, King Malachi Freeman, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf and on the behalf of all the youth all over the world. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive King Malachi Freeman. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle, I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door, pain's creeping through the back, fear's crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters, but tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face, I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through.
The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on.
They say fear haunts you, and pain hates. I say pain strengthens, and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes, don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom, I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel.
Thank you, Father God in heaven. We come to you thanking you for this day. Thank you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all our needs. Also, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we know we are not perfect and we need your forgiveness. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed. Father God, we ask a direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so we have a clear vision for what you want us to do for you. God, you know your word affirms it backwards, so you know what you mean in Proverbs 22:6, which says, start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Thank you, Lord, for telling this to the grown-ups. We pray that they will obey you because if they do this, it will give us a solid foundation. God, you also know that Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word. We thank you for good biblical teachers who preach the message. Please wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. Even though we are youth, with you by our side, we can change the world in the way you intended to be. Lord, we love you. We praise you with all our heart and soul. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. Lord, in all our ways, we acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, we are so grateful. Amen.
Thank you, Malachi, for taking us to the altar. Okay. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. with more to come. I just want to thank you and just very thankful for the youth all over the world. You know, you are important to us, and we need you to survive. We're going to be all right, okay? And just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday's worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection and doing double, triple duty is our very own man of God, pastor, assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate. Let's prepare to receive assistant pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Holy.
Bow down before the Lord God, our maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, he touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand. And yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall, but with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Yeah.
full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Good morning again, brothers and sisters. I was over here rocking with the song, like, man, is it time already? Felt like I just got off the mic. But back again, one more again. I am Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate at Running for Christ Ministries, and I will be bringing you the word this morning that the Lord provided. And it is Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 14. That's, again, Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 14. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Verse 7 reads, it says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Verse 7 again says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I love how David writes things in poetic form, but I enjoy poetry, so I may be biased, but it's true, says, is the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. I am so thankful, first and foremost, to Pastor O, who was one of the first people to teach me that you can actually have a relationship with the Lord. Like, it's not just the Lord barking orders from his throne. It's you can have a relationship, you know, and because I would hear him say all the time, the Lord said this, and hanging out with the Lord is fun and things of that nature. And he was one of the first people to actually teach that to me and kind of help me to explore that. And I'm thankful because as my relationship has grown with the Lord, I hear his instructions more closely in terms of things that I need to eat, drink, you know, even an outfit for work. He'll say, okay, you know, it's going to be, you know, this temperature according to the forecast. You need to probably wear a sweatshirt or sweater and wear this, you know, you can match this with this and this. And it's like, okay, Lord, thank you. Like, you care about the little things and the major things concerning your son. So, and 10 times out of 10, his instructions are right on point, perfect, and they do revive me. They do give me energy and inspiration and encouragement, and I'm thankful for that. It's not that the Lord is just mad at us about anything. He took his anger out on the Lord Jesus on the cross, you know, and that's finished. So right now it's about, hey, let me teach and instruct my children. So his instructions are perfect. They do revive the soul. It says the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. If you just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, and in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. So it would, you know, they are trustworthy, but we have to trust in him. It does make wise the simple. It does make us look smarter than we actually are, because we are sheep. We get distracted. We wander off. And if we listen to the Lord and we relate with the Lord, he will make us wise, because we are simple, truth be told. And verse 8 says, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Once we understand, first and foremost, that what the Lord commands is right, and not just right, but right for us, easily understood, especially when you're in relationship with the Lord. I want to continue to learn more and more and more about the Lord. I want to continue. If I learn more and more about the Lord, I learn more and more about me, what John's capabilities are, what John is able to do, what John is able to say and think beyond what John thinks. Because John lives in limits. The Lord is not limited by anything. John needs to learn how to love more. And the Lord is love, so he can teach me that. I had a dream last night, and I dream like movies and color and sound. And I walked outside, and I was in River Rouge, and there were a bunch of people just being mean and evil towards each other. And I heard the Lord say, love will change all of that. So I started going up to people, hugging them and saying, I love you. I love you. And I just was doing that throughout the neighborhood. And people were smiling, and they would stop being mean and hateful and evil towards one another. True. That's so true. That's all Jesus did when he came. He demonstrated love. That's our job, is to demonstrate love. The Lord doesn't need your help in getting people told or seeking revenge and carrying it out. All of that belongs to him. He wants us to show love, to reflect our father, our elder brother, our comforters in our lives by showing love. Amen? Amen. So verse 9 says, reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. When we respect the Lord and we walk with him, we talk with him, we trust in what he says, that's pure, period. And then it goes on to say the laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. It is. No matter what you think or how you feel about what the word says, it's the absolute truth first and foremost. But anything the Lord commands you to do, he knows that you're capable to do so, and it's fair because the Lord doesn't know how to be anything else but fair. Regardless of what we think, you know, we change like Michigan weather. You see all four seasons in one day. So we just flip-flop, back and forth, back and forth. The Lord, not so much. The word says he does not change. What he says about a thing is true, it's fair, and it's good for you, whether you realize it or not, whether you accept it or not. It's good for you. Amen? Amen. And it goes on to say in verse 10 that they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. Now, we place high value in gold, you know, and it's still an element, you know, that's very precious to a lot of people. But it does have high earthly value. It has high value in general. And I don't know about you, I love honey. I'll even just squeeze the bottle in my mouth to get it sometimes, like without it being going, and I put it in my tea and sometimes on oatmeal and stuff like that. But I love honey, and it is sweet. And if you've ever had honey straight from a honeycomb, which I've had the opportunity, it is delicious. So right here, David is talking about things that are precious and that are good. And so is everything that comes from the Lord. Even you. Precious. You're good. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we're covered. We're saved. We can be counted as good because we're joint heirs. For those of us who are saved, we're joint heirs with Christ. So we're saved, we're good, we're precious. But what the word, what the Lord says about everything, his commandments, his instructions, it's, they're all good. They're highly valuable, precious. And we need to accept that. God wants you to be who he designed you to be, not who you think you are. David knew he wasn't all that, but he understood that he had the Lord. So he could run up on a 9-foot giant who was actually over 9 feet. I think he was 9'9", if I'm not mistaken, but he could run up on a 9-foot giant. And David wasn't like 7 feet or nothing like that. He was small and kind of frail at that point, because he knew he had the Lord. See, that really happened on earth. What can't we do with the Lord? But we have to understand who we are in the Lord. You know, people like to say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah. But we're God's children. For those of us who are saved, we have him. So we have everything. And it's all good no matter what he's telling you to do. Just trust him. Just move forward. Amen? Amen. Verse 11 says, they are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. So typically in the word, especially back in ancient times and, you know, Old Testament times, they had punishments for if you broke the law. So the laws typically will warn you, hey, don't do this or you'll get that, you know. And even in today's society, we have laws, and if you break them, there are consequences. Well, there's a reason for that, because the Lord, he will reward those who are obedient, those who trust in him. That's why you see a great reward for those who obey them. But they're also a warning to let you know, hey, the speed limit is 55. Don't go past that. The Lord also provides consequences. You know, if when John was disobedient about premarital sex, John had to find out that one of those consequences was friend of the court and dealing with everything that comes with that. And that's hard. That's hard to deal with, because it's not like they're the friendliest people. They talk dirty to you. And if you're not paying, they want to know why. Cages in the bottom of that building where they would lock you up to help you get some act right. But that's a consequence for doing it John's way. But when you follow the Lord's instructions, you know, by doing, I'll say the speed limit, for example. There have been times that I've been able to avoid disaster because I was operating within the speed limit, so I could make maneuvers or I could slow down effectively and avoid disaster, or avoid that state trooper or that police officer that pulled out, you know, because others were speeding past me and I was doing the speed limit. So they are a great reward for those who obey them. And that's just the reality. And I'm thankful that the Lord provides instruction and has given commandments and laws that I can read and understand and learn from and pay attention to and heed the warning that comes with them, the great reward that comes from obeying. Because my rewards ultimately and eternally are up in heaven. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, but that's because I already belong to him because I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Are there things that go on within us and sins that we commit that we don't know all the time? That's why the word says, create in me a clean heart. You know, and I like that song because it's based upon words. And purify me. Show me the right way to do this thing, how to live my life with you. But I need a clean heart first and foremost, because, you know, that heart will get you going in the wrong direction, and your body gonna follow. Because your mind is like, well, the heart cool with it, I'm cool with it. Body like, I'm rolling, you know. And we have these things within us that require exposure. And only the Lord can do that, especially, you know, sometimes I go to the Lord and I'll say, look, Lord, I need you to protect me from me. There are things that come up in my thoughts, in my heart, that require your protection, Lord, that require you to cleanse them out of me. And I have to regularly go to the Lord, you know, to deal with those things, because we have things that may have been planted that we didn't even know were there, things that may have even been genetic that lurk around in us because of genetics. And we have to ask the Lord to cleanse us from, you know, these thoughts and these actions and things that are hidden that we don't even know our sin. You know, that's why when I go to the Lord, I ask for forgiveness for all my sins, known and unknown. Because I know at any given moment, I'm bold, I'm shady. It's within seconds. So if you live with yourself and you're being honest with yourself, you know that it's stuff in you that needs cleaning. So that's why we have to allow the Lord access into every aspect of our lives so that he could cleanse it and purify it and get us together. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 says, keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sins. David is saying, look, protect me from the stuff I do on purpose. Because you know how we do. We'll make up in our mind that, you know what, today is the day that I'm going to climb. I don't care, you know, a lot of us, you know, is on our birthdays usually. I'm going to clown. I don't care what nobody got to say or whatever. I'm going to do me. I'm going to turn up and all this and this. David is saying, keep your servant from nose, from doing that, the stuff I do on purpose. But it also says, don't let them control me. You know, because sin is funny like that. You might turn up once in the club, and before you know it, you're an alcoholic. You turning up every day with the alcohol. Or you getting high every single day to escape reality. And before you know it, you smoke weed every day. Then you smoking 51s, good in, or cocaine. And before you know it, you smoking rocks, and you breaking the houses, and all that because you decided to turn up one too many times. So he's saying, don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. And we know, like, sometimes the guilt is worse than the actual sin for some of us because we wallow in it and we be like, I know the Lord really pissed off at me right now. I know he mad. I turned up for 2 days and had about 9 women and jacked off all my check and everything. I know he mad at me. Look, that's why you confess. That's why you ask for his forgiveness. That's why you do the 1 John 1:9. That we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you look back, verse 12, cleanse me from these hidden faults. He will do that, but you got to bring it to him. And then again, verse 1, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Relate with him. Don't just try to do it on Sunday. Walk and talk with the Lord. Receive his instruction for today and carry out what he instructs you to do. He will help you. He will cleanse you. He will protect you. He doesn't want you wallowing around in that guilt. Just bring it to him. Be done with it. Move forward. That's how it works. As soon as you do the 1 John 1:9, it's okay, boom. All right, let's start from scratch now. Pick up where we left off before you start climbing on purpose or unknowingly. Amen? Amen. And verse 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. When I was a little kid at River Rouge Bible Assembly, before we ended each of our Sunday school sessions, or classes rather, at we used to always quote, and I didn't know it was the actual verse until I became an adult. And I was like, oh, I remember we used to, you know, say that. But may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. In the King James Version, it says, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we should want our words and our thoughts to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. We should always want, when we get up in the morning, we should set out to say, Lord, you know, let my words and my thoughts be acceptable. Because that will check, if our words and our thoughts are acceptable to the Lord, that will check our deeds, our actions. because we will be checked because we're trying to please the Lord, who is indeed our Lord, our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Because we've been redeemed, the solid rock we stand. All others are on sinking sand. But you know, if you're not saved, you're on sinking sand. Your father is Satan, and he means you no good whatsoever. And now is the time, today is the day, that I plead with you to choose Jesus and eternal life. And it's real simple. If you just believe that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins and rose from the dead, that's the first part. That happened. Jesus physically walked the earth. He performed miracles. He was free from sin, and he was crucified, and he rose from the grave. People physically saw him walking around after he was clinically and physically dead. So he rose from the grave. That happened. There's historical account. So if you believe that, that's the first part. The second part, it's just a prayer, and you can repeat after me right now and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you went to the cross, you died, and you rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I invite you into my heart and life as my Savior and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you believed what we call the gospel, the good news, that in Jesus' life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then you prayed that prayer and you meant that, then you're saved. All you have to do now is just get into a good Bible-based church and understand that the Lord is your rock, your strength, and your redeemer. At this very moment, if you're in the metro area, I invite you to Run for Christ Ministries, a true Bible-based church. We don't deviate much from the word. Stuff we deviate from is personal, but it's a Bible-based church. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for such an awesome time. Lord, I thank you for giving me the strength and the willingness to pull a double duty, whether it's triple or quadruple duty. Lord, you always give me the strength. You always give me the inspiration and the encouragement, and I'm thankful for that. I don't take it lightly, and I pray that someone join the family today. I pray that someone somewhere, everyone that's listening, is saved before it's too late, and that we not only get saved, but that we be inspired to share your word with others and to bring more into the family so that we can all celebrate at that family reunion in heaven with you. We thank you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was absolutely awesome for multiple reasons. One, because that word was not only a word for our youth, right on time, perfect, because they're just going through so much, but for those of us who are grown, who've been in the word for a long time, who just needed a reminder. You know, life gets the best of us sometimes, and we really go off course in a lot of things. And so the word that you brought to us today was, you know, a word that helps us to just erase everything and just go back to square one and the basics and just basically hit the reset button. But it also gives our youth something to hold on to as they're building and learning and growing in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. So absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for pulling double duty today for your, you know, Saturday Bible class and the word that you just brought to us today. So, Pastor Jonathan, we really appreciate you, and we're going to let you get on with your day. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, yeah. So, hey, y'all, good morning. It's Saturday. It's the last Saturday in April, April the 30th, already gone. Just want to give you guys a couple of announcements. I feel like we're still in April, and I just kind of got to still say happy anniversary, 19th church anniversary to Run for Christ Ministries, 19 years as a collective body of churchgoers. God has been so good. He's been so amazing. And so, of course, we are and will always remain thankful for everything that the Lord has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. So just wanted to say happy anniversary for 19 years. And so as far as your announcements are concerned, Sunday, May 1st, which is tomorrow, we will have our in-person worship service at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. We will hear the preached word by yours truly, ours truly. Amen, Pastor O. You are welcome to join us as we celebrate. All we ask is that you wear a mask. If you don't have one, one will be provided for you at no cost, so no worries. If you're not comfortable with coming out in person, you can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rftm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., please do not forget that our very own presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, is on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Don't forget to tune in and give her your support. Amen. There's a phone number. If you go to our church website, rfcm.org, you can go to our Christian resources page, and there's a way that you can log in there. And then there's also the phone number in order for you to be able to listen and participate. Amen. Amen. Also, every Wednesday, 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Eric Reed will be teaching from his portion of the Book of Psalms, chapters 131 to 135. Questions have been emailed. They're available online at rfcm.org, our church website. Or if you're in person in church or on Sunday, they're on the back table. Speaking of the back table, make sure you check the back table. There's always stuff there, free stuff. Get you sometimes there'll be some snacks back there. You know, when we come around holidays, Pen Pal always got some goodies back there. People bring stuff in. There's always important stuff on the back table. So just make sure you're checking it, whether you're on your way in or out of the sanctuary. Amen? Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, go to our Christian resources page on our church website, rfcm.org, to get all the info you need to participate in that. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for the ladies' Bible class. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit rfcm.org. Click on the tithes and offerings tab if you want to give for the preacher that brought the amazing word today, Pastor Jonathan Tate. Please remember to specify his name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with them. Amen? Amen. So we just want to ask for continued prayers. My pentash, she has my name on the list. I am doing much, much better. Thank you so much for all of your prayers and concerns and texts and calls. Much better. Thank you. Please continue to keep Mother Irma Miller in your prayers, who is improving and is in rehab. Praise God. Like Pastor O always says, we are so looking forward to the day where she walks back into church to be able to be there with us. But in the meantime, in between time, we will continue to keep her listening in prayer. Amen. Also, keep Darius Freeman in your prayers. You all heard him this morning doing scripture and prayer. We praise God for his strength and his ability to do so. We are keeping him and his brother Malachi and his mom Keela lifted up in our prayers. Also, the father of our church, amen. I love when Pastor O says that, Tyrone Hamilton. Please keep him in prayer. pray for all of our mothers on the move. We love them so much at Run for Christ Ministries. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Amen. Continue pray for all those who are bereaved. And there's a lot of bereaved folks, okay? So continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and the loss of friends and loved ones, family. Pray for our world, our leaders. Continue to, of course, pray for Ukraine and all the people that live in that country that are, you know, still trying to get out of there and all that mess that's been happening. Continue to pray for our president and all the leaders of this country that they are guided and led in the right direction to do what's right for us. Amen? Amen. We know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible. So those are just a couple things. Of course, you add on to that as you see fit. And sometimes it's just too much to pray for. You don't even know what to pray for. So when you pray, ask the Lord to show you things to pray for, and the Holy Spirit will most definitely do his job. Amen. Amen. So it's about to be a new month. The only birthday that I had, well, I had two birthdays, Nedra and Minister Janine. I still don't know exactly what day of the month her birthday is, but I'm going to find that out. But nevertheless, she celebrated her birthday as well as Nedra. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners who celebrated in the entire month of April. We hope that you enjoyed your month, because we know people celebrate for the whole month. Amen. So we're just thankful. We hope, you know, that you enjoyed yourself, and we thank God for another year of life for you. Amen. Amen. So because it is Youth Saturday, I wanted to take some time to give some Bible verses to our young people that they can remember and use to grow and apply to their lives so they can be encouraged and strengthened in their walk with the Lord. Amen. So I found an article online by Herb Scribner, and so I'm using some of what was said in there to kind of, you know, give you guys a little foundation and help things make sense to you. So Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So young people are in search of their own role models, but as this quote notes, it's important for youngsters to start building themselves up as someone worth admiring by others. Having faith, being pure, and loving people is what can help you be someone to admire. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. A large portion of our youth are talking to God and looking to him for help. Being young and inexperienced in life teaching doesn't mean you don't have a say in what can happen. God also uses young people to accomplish his purposes and will always be there to back you up in his calling. Amen. The key word there is in what it is that he has called you to do. Amen. Amen. Samuel chapter 17, verses 42. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. This comes from the story of David and Goliath, where the little tyke and youngster David slayed the giant Goliath. It shows no matter what size or strength, it's possible to tackle even the most intimidating of foes. Amen? Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. The Virgin Mary was but a youngling when she first received word that she would be carrying the Son of God with her. Young people continue to face sexual pressures as they grow. And looking to the Virgin Mary for inspiration, okay, is not such a bad idea when we're talking about purity, all right? Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. This quote is about staying true to your parents and not disrespecting them. And because a lot of youth are living with their parents, you know, despite graduating from college and earning higher education degrees, playing nice with the parents isn't something young people are or should be skipping out on. Remember, no matter how old you are, you owe your parents their respect. Amen? Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. It seems young people may already be learning this lesson, too, about humility, given that young people are more humble than, you know, some of the previous generations. Not all of them, but some of them. We know that, you know, yeah, young people, you're taking selfies and you're posting everything on the Internet. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you know, you guys are pretty cool and kind of happy with the things that you have. But you want to be humble. Humility is major. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. The bottom line here is it's important to take care of your elders, period. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Young people, enjoy your youth. Be happy while you are still young. Do what you want to do and follow your heart's desires, but remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. Don't let anything worry you or cause you pain. You aren't going to be young very long. Okay, this is one very poignant, you know, for young people. It's a really important point. Since many are living the YOLO or you only live once lifestyle these days, Ecclesiastes' message to enjoy life for what it is now shows that eventually things change for young people. There isn't one finite number that determines old age. It can come at any time. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is all about seeking opportunities and asking God for guidance, which is something that our youth should be doing. But they won't do it if they're not taught to keep God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God, and all of the things that we chase after in this life will be given to us according to his will. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. It's always important for young people to know that what they do as a youngster can be forgiven. For many years now, Facebook and social media platforms have caused employers to keep, you know, young people from being able to get jobs just based on some of the things that have been put out on social media when they were younger. But with the help of this passage, you know, forgiveness for past troubles is attainable. Young people can find work. You know, you're not defined by your past mistakes. But 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, that the Lord is full and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. So no matter what, remember to ask God for forgiveness, because confession and forgiveness is what keeps the air clean between you and the Lord. Amen. So your devotional for today, 5 steps to wise decision making. Amen. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. There is a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. None of us knows what is going to happen, and there is no one to tell us. And that's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 6 through 7. For the rest of your life, you'll try to determine the right timing for many decisions you have to make. It may be deciding about an educational change, a career change, or a change in relationship. We know that list goes on and on. The Bible tells us there is a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. None of us knows what is going to happen, and there is no one to tell us. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Because timing is an important part of any decision, keep these 5 steps in mind as you decide. Take time to make the right decision. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Hurry is the enemy of good decisions. Let God set the timing for your choices. His timing will always be best, so you can surrender yours to him. Be quiet and listen to God's word. I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your law. That's Psalm chapter 119, verse 59. You can't hear the whisper of God's voice if your life is filled with other noise. That's why it's so critical you spend time alone with God. God's will is found in God's word. Enlist the prayers of others. Brothers and sisters, I beg you to help me in my work by praying to God for me. Do this because of our Lord Jesus and the love that the Holy Spirit gives us. And that's Romans chapter 15, verse 30. When you ask other people to pray with you about a decision, they can offer encouragement and support. They can ask God to give you focus and clarity. Consider what you do best. Each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. And that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God gave you gifts so you could use them to help others. Make sure your decision helps you spend more time sharing your gifts and your talents with other people. Seek the counsel of wise friends. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. You want more than your own perspective when you're trying to determine the right time for a decision. Get the help of godly friends or a mentor or a pastor. Find the wisest people you know and listen to their advice. As you consider your decision, remember, God is the creator of time and he controls all of it. That means his timing is never too late and never too early. You can trust him to be right on time and in his own time. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements, your mini counseling sessions, mini sermons. Amen? Amen.
So you just took the words right out my mouth, right?
I mean, my goodness. It only looks like it's a lot when I'm putting it on the announcements. Then I'm reading it. It's like I've been reading forever.
She just took the words right out of my mouth. It's all levels.
Good Lord.
I don't know what we should do. Take up an offering or schedule a counseling meeting.
I don't know.
But it was a great day for our youth, great word for the youth.
Yes.
And I knew, you know, Crystal, amen. It's so good to have you back. I'm telling you.
Thank you.
You know, I
amen.
Tried
you did a great job last week. You did so good. I'm so proud of you. I told him that sales pastor, act right. Make sure you act right. So you did great.
Oh, so that's what was up. You and baby Holy Ghost colluded together to get me to act right.
I said, he can read the announcements, but tell him he got to be on his best behavior. And you did just that. Amen. Praise God.
So y'all just be colluding, huh? You done turned into sharing, huh? They be colluding.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
The same thing she tells me all the time. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. She know what she doing.
Yeah, that's it. No worries.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Tell Mir we say what's up.
Hey,
Amen, I shall.
All right. Hey, man, it's been a wonderful, wonderful Saturday, wonderful day. It's the last, I guess it's the last day of the month, or I guess tomorrow's the first. Hey, man, ain't no more dates on the calendar, so I guess that's it. So I want to thank everybody for 19 years. This day officially ends. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn helped me to remember that this is the last day of the month. So I want to thank you guys for 19 years of faithful service. And again, you all look like miracles to me because of what the Lord said. So when I see people come to our church, you look like the people that God said would show up and help me to do what he called me to do. I want to thank God again for my wife. You know, I call her baby Holy Ghost because she loves to tell me what to do. She got the gift of administrations, and Lord have mercy, she be using it. But anyway, I want to thank God for her because she had to go with me through all these years, through all of the ups and all of the downs, and she knows it from behind the scenes just what it's like to be pastor and the pastor's wife. Amen. It's not an easy thing, but, you know, ride or die, she's been there with me, by my side, never left me, never forsook me, maybe didn't understand me, some of the things I was saying and doing, but she trusted and believed that the Lord was leading and guiding me, so she stayed right there with me, even unto this very day. So I thank God most of all for her, because she is the one I'm supposed to love like Christ loved the church, right? The one he gave his life for. He became the Savior, sanctifier, satisfier, and that's what I want to be. I want to love her like that because she loves me like that. And so I thank God for her, and especially all of the members of Running for Christ Ministries. You know your position in the church, and you know me. Once I get your position, that's your position to run. The only way I'll get involved is if something goes crazy, and then Jesus say, you need to get involved. Other than that, you running that thing. Amen. Just like you'll never hear me on here trying to preside, that's Deaconess Kathy Clyburn's job and whoever else she chooses to do that. And as long as she's doing that, I ain't got nothing to say. I don't do it. Well, I do announcements. But as I see now, there's collusion going on to make me act right. But anyway, I want to thank God for each and every one of you for the 19 years. Now, I know your ears got titillated when you heard Pastor Jonathan Tate speaking about the end times, okay, and how we will be gathered together with the Lord, and we are so close to the rapture, I can almost feel it. Amen. So if you want some more understanding on what's called eschatology, it's a study of the end times. If you want to do like old folks, my wife's grandmother, Mary Burks, God, that was an awesome godly woman. She would say at the end of her prayers when I went to prayer meeting with her that she had come too far to turn around now, and she wanted to run on and see what the end's going to be. Well, if you want to run on and see what the end's going to be, go to my website, PastorGMO.com, PastorGMO.com, and then click on YouTube, my YouTube page, and then click on The Last Days. There are six. It's a six-series teaching on the last days. Amen? Six lessons that will take you from Matthew 24 all the way to Revelations 22. So get involved. Go click it on and learn what the end's going to be, and you might pick up a blessing. You might just see something that nothing can stop you from getting to heaven. Nothing between here and then can stop you. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for the double duty that he did today, preaching and teaching. That's what preachers are supposed to do, preach and teach. He did both of them in one day. Praise the Lord for him. Amen. And for King Darius. Amen. Amen. And the prophet Malachi. Amen. Those are some awesome names. I mean, really, there is a king in the Bible during Daniel's time, and his name was Darius. And he was a good king to Daniel, right? And then there's another prophet who ends the Old Testament. His name is Malachi. And he is the one who spoke the last words of God. Amen. And they wouldn't hear an inspired prophet again until John the Baptist some 400 years later. We call that the silent years or the intertestamental period. So we thank God for King Darius and the prophet Malachi. And, of course, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, for getting all these people together to come on here and do these things. And, of course, Crystal, who keep us super informed top to bottom. When this service is through, the Lord knows that he has put a lot of word out. Amen. And we should absorb it. Amen. Receive it. And then adsorb it. Live it out in our everyday life. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow. I was looking for a closing song, and I didn't even get to it. This song's been on my mind. It's kind of long, and I usually don't end with no long song. Amen. But I want you to hear this song. It's by Brianna Babineau. I first heard her when I was listening to Donnie McClurkin, and he mentioned her. Amen. And I want to find this song and pray it for you. It simply says, I'll be the one. Amen. And there's a part in this song is, I'll be the yes you can believe. Amen. Because sometimes we tell God, yes, there's a passage of scripture that says, who will do the Lord's will? And this guy said, I will. But he didn't. And then there was this one, I ain't doing no Lord's will. But then he thought about the goodness of the Lord. And he said, I'll be the one. Will you be the one? God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. See you tomorrow. I'll be preaching from James chapter 3. We're kicking that series back up. And we'll be talking about the tongue, that unruly evil, speaking blessings and curses. Shouldn't ought to be. Ain't that perfect English? Kids, when you go to school, tell your teacher, that shouldn't ought to be. Okay, kids, don't do that. They'll kick you straight out of school. Don't do that. Praise the Lord.
God, I'm always available. I'll be the one you can find me, Lord, in your temple. Always available. Oh, I'll be the one.
We, you know, go day after day, you know, with a smile on our face, like we're okay, you know, but God sees the heart. He sees the hidden things that we have, whether, you know, it's hurt, pains, whether, you know, you've been scarred by something. He sees those things. He wants total access. He wants us to give him total access to our hearts.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.